This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and the message for this month is a message. This is for January 1994. This is an audio message that was actually posted on the website in 1994 as just a plain reading message, but I decided to try to update some of my past messages in the audio just for people that might want to have a chance to listen to the messages and see, listen to them in their cars or something like that instead of having to read the message. But anyway, this scripture is it's taken from St. John chapter number 3 and verse number 3. As I said, this is posted or written in January 1994. This is a message that basically concerns all of Christendom, because the very foundation of our belief system and what we put our faith in is contained in this particular passage of scripture. It is what sets the foundation for every Christian. And as we get into the message, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. St. John chapter 3, verse number 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The subject for this message is taken from this passage of scripture. You must be born again. Now, let me ask you a question. It's really quite simple. Are you born again? Or the other term is, are you saved? Now, if you are like most of the people that I have put this question to, those that say they are Christians, you would probably answer by saying that you are a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or one of the other denominations that are part of the Christian faith. However, that is not what I asked. There is a difference between being saved and being a member of a group or a congregation or denomination. When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, a religious leader of that time, he put forth a truth that today is for the most part largely ignored or misunderstood by the Christian community. That truth is one that will determine the eternal destiny of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Heaven and hell are the two final places that we will be facing when we die. The only way we will get to heaven is if we are, as Jesus said, born again. To understand the term, we must go back to Adam and Eve, and more specifically, Adam. When God created man, He gave him a free will as far as making a choice to obey the commandment that he, God, had given him. Quite simply, it was one commandment, and that was not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. That tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not, I repeat, not an apple tree. Before they ate the fruit, there was no evil inside of them. They were perfect, and had they not eaten that fruit, they would have lived eternally, meaning they would be alive today. Well, see, this message is being recorded in September in the year 2022. So, you know, that would make them thousands of years old, over 5,000-6,000 years or so old, if they hadn't, all of that because they, if they had not eaten of that fruit or disobeyed God. But let's go on further. But once Adam ate the fruit, he corrupted himself. And that corruption was passed on to every human born after that. This came about because of the curse that God put on them as a result of their disobedience. One of those curses was physical death. But an overlooked part of the curse was spiritual death, which meant eternal separation from God. It is this spiritual death that is at the focus of Jesus' statement to Nicodemus. You see, God deals with us in both the physical and spiritual realm. The primary realm is the spiritual. Since God is a spirit, and since we are spirits that possess a soul that live in a body, the only way we can do anything to please God is through the Spirit. The things we do through what is known as the flesh do not please God, because many people do things that God wants them to do, but they do it for all the wrong reasons. Most of us work and support our families because we want to. But there are others of us who do the same things because someone has made them do it. If they could get away with it, they would quit and start doing what they want to do. The difference between the two is what we have in our spirit. What a person does outwardly can fool anyone, but what is in the spirit is what God looks at. This is why going to church every day, singing in the choir, preaching, paying tithes, and anything else you can think of that is what God says we should do is not worth a hill of beans if you are not born again. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, the first thing he thought of was going back into his mother's womb and coming out again. This was because he was thinking of the natural, fleshly things, and Jesus was talking about spiritual things. Jesus went on to say, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What Jesus meant is that the spirit of all men is a corrupt spirit that will stay in man until one of two things happens. Those two things are death, or that spirit is replaced by a new spirit. That process will only happen when a person asks God for it. So then, why would a person ask for it? Well, they wouldn't if they didn't know what was in store for them if they stay the way they are. You see, most people think that there is no hell. Others think that even if hell is real, God wouldn't send them there because he loves us too much to send us to a place like that. And they are right. He wouldn't. However, we send our own selves there. God commands obedience to his word, and a corrupt spirit won't obey. So outside of being born again, a person can't obey because spirit won't let him. That spirit that's in him won't let him, that corrupt spirit. Only when we turn to God, admit that we are sinners, repent of the sin of rejecting him, ask him to come into our hearts. The term spirit can be used interchangeably. Will he do it? When he does that, you have been born again. When I'm talking about what can be used interchangeably with spirit, I'm talking about our hearts. Heart and spirit can be used interchangeably here because we're talking about spiritual things, the core of our human existence. Now, many people think that they are too far gone and God will not save them. Nothing can be further from the truth. Jesus said, "Whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." That means the prostitute, the homosexual, the lesbian, the child molester, the murderer, the adulterer, the fornicator, and whosoever can come to Jesus and get saved. Now, to tell you, I'm adding something in here to tell you just how his save power is. Most of us know a person by the name of Adolf Hitler and all of the evil things that he did while he was alive and ruling Germany. Do you realize that if Hitler, before he died, had somebody had come to him and told him about the fact that he must be born again if he repented of his sins, if Hitler took that step and asked the Lord to forgive him and that he was sorry for his sin and asked Jesus to become Lord of his life, believe it or not, Hitler would be in heaven today. I know that sounds like a stretch, but you know, that's how powerful God's word is toward those that forgive, ask for his forgiveness. However, one other thing that you need to know, and that is Jesus is the only one that can save you. The Bible says there is no other name given to mankind whereby we must or can be saved. You can find that in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 12. As good as many other religions and denominational doctrines are, only the name of Jesus will get God's attention. People like to call God by many different names. Because of this, God gave us a name by which we can gain access to Him. Just like if your name is Charles, you wouldn't answer to James, would you? Well, since God wrapped Himself up in flesh and called Himself Jesus, then that is the name we must use, not Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or any other denomination or whatever, or any other religion for that matter. As far as where you have to go to get saved, you can do it right now, right where you are. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sinful ways. Will you come into my heart and cleanse me from all my sin and be Lord of my life? I accept you as Lord and Savior, and with your help, I will live my life for you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from the heart, in other words, meaning every word, congratulations, you are now saved. The next thing you need to do is start learning about what God wants you to begin doing. Among these things is to get water baptized in the name of Jesus as a symbolic act of the remission of your sins, or turning away from your sins, or washing yourself free of your sins. Also, seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which will be the evidence of God's power being given to you as recorded in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Well, that's the end of this message. I hope you got something from it. And hopefully there's somebody out there that prayed that prayer that meant every word. You know, you can read words or just repeat words, but unless you actually mean them from the heart, they do you no good. So if you prayed that prayer, meaning every word, and you prayed it from the heart, congratulations, you are now saved. Or you won't look any different. You probably won't even feel any different right away. But as you begin to pursue learning more about God, you'll be surprised at how all of a sudden your state of being will seem to change, and things will begin to seem brighter, and life will seem more to have a purpose, and that you will begin to grow from that. So that's all for this message. This is Evangelist George McTyre saying so long. God bless you and your families real good. Amen.